Good afternoon and welcome to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to 1 on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. You know, we're in our second week of the Pledge Drive, and I really don't have to do it. But I do want to thank the callers from Mark Manning Show, Wednesday Midday Medley, who called right at the last minute. Michael and Rochelle of the Classic Cup, they called, and, you know, With their pledge and everybody else throughout the hour, we really pushed Mark into his goal for this week. And we really thank you for your support of this little radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Thank you, Maria.
You're very welcome, my friend. And, you know, so as every week happens, we have a full house of creative people in the studio, live in the studio, and this is no exception. We have artists and writers and painters and musicians. So let me introduce who's on tap today. We've got Hector Casanova, along with the Kansas City Art Institute illustration students. Emily Alvarez, not here. I'm taking roll. Jeff Bonneville. That's him. Kylie Carey.
No, we have Caitlin, Jess, and Zach.
Okay, that works out better. Caitlin and Zachary Martin. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Jordan. Okay, very good. Because I have like about 16 people here listed. We also have, along with Hector Casanova and his illustration students, we also have artist painter Crystal Highland and artist painter Laurie Ray Erickson. They're going to talk about the Hobbs Building Open Studios that's happening this week. We also have Joe Froge and Chuck Wilson of the Ukulele Fight Club and the Ukesters. And then we are rounded out by Susan Jones, who is the board president of Chain of Hope, and she's going to talk about some events that are coming up in Chain of Hope, what exactly their organization does here in Kansas City. So let's get started with Hector and the Kansas City Art Institute illustration students, Jess Bonneville, Caitlin Jordan, Zachary Martin. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks for having us.
You bet. Now, this is, your third year working with Skerritt Elementary School, which has been closed and it's been shuttered for several years. And so the neighbors often had complained about the graffiti, vandalism, and loitering that take place on the property grounds. So what was it that made you think about beautifying this school and this area, Hector, with your students in tow?
When I started teaching a few years ago, I really wanted to do a project which would do two things. One would be to push the students to work in a project much more ambitious than what they'd be accustomed to, something much larger than any one person would typically tackle. And the other one would be to use this same project to do some good in the world. So I did some hunting about to look for a project that could kind of suit these needs, and that's how I ended up connecting with the Kansas City School, the Kansas City Public School District, mm-hmm. and this project was born at that point.
Yeah, and it really wasn't a hard sell because, you know, the Northeast is very historic and very still beautiful and thriving, but to beautify it with some illustrations was an easy goal, right?
It's been a very welcome project, and the change I think is already evident. Even though, you know, it's not quite done yet, but we're mm-hmm. Working to finish it this semester.
Yeah, because this project started in the fall of 2014, right?
Right.
And the students covered the northeastern facade of the school building, and then they continued to work on it year after year. I also want to mention that the mural project is made possible through an alliance between the Kansas City Art Institute and the Kansas City School District, and as well as the Kansas City Museum. So they're all working together in community to beautify this area. So I want to talk to your students, Jess, Caitlin, and Zachary. Welcome, my friends.
Thank you.
Yeah, get real close to the microphone. I want to talk about your experience. Have you ever worked this large before as illustration students? Because they're primarily a little bit smaller in scale, right? How was it working on large panels?
It was pretty challenging. It had a lot of different things that presented itself working at such a large scale. I mean, typically we do work on a smaller scale. We've done, you know, I personally have done a few pieces that were about half this size, but never quite this scale. So.
Mm-hmm.
definitely its own set of challenges.
Yeah, and Caitlin?
As a transfer to the Kansas City Art Institute, I had the opportunity in California, my hometown, to do a few murals. They were never quite as big as this, but they were fairly large. So it's really fun to be able to be a part of this.
And Zach?
Well, I've never really attempted anything the size of an actual panel that we had to paint on. Like, the closest thing like to this size was probably our self-portrait project that we had to do last year in our first semesters, which mine got to about 4 feet by 4 feet, and that's about the largest that I've attempted.
Yeah, yeah. Now, as far as the images and the subject matter and all that, Hector, how was that decided?
Early on in the project, I reached out to the community, both through social media and news outlets, the neighborhood newspapers, radio stations, and we started requesting input from the community. We wanted the neighborhood to be the source, basically, of the ideas and inspiration for this. So a lot of the neighborhood people, the residents, started emailing and writing in just ideas and suggestions of themes and topics. So I broke all that information down into the three different categories, which were basically, one was historical and architectural landmarks and historical moments from the from Kansas City history. The other one was a very broader kind of theme of like peace and community and nonviolence. And then the other one was about celebrating the heritage of the neighborhood, specifically the demographics. So I took these, I just gave the students all of these emails and kind of collated information, and each group of students came up with imagery.
And also with this most recent mural, I noticed that the color palette is very different in that it's the complementary colors, but just and different saturated and light and dark and all that. How was the palette determined?
I selected the color palette for each stage of the mural, and each stage has it's been very it's varied a little bit, but it's always been very limited. We've always been keeping it to two colors plus black and white, although those two colors can be mixed together to create other blends.
And if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Hector Casanova and Kansas City Art Institute illustration students Jess Bonnewell, Caitlin Jordan, and Zachary Martin. They're talking about the Skerritt Elementary School mural project. And, it's just been you've had a terrific response in the community with the murals that you've done, right?
So far it's been really great, both with everything that's been done and even as we posted these sketches for the community to give us feedback on the sketches before we executed them. This is the first time that we actually had a great deal of feedback on the sketches as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, when these are completed this year, will there be some sort of reception or any sort of a community gathering?
Yes, we're having a big kind of a wrap-up party unveiling on December 7th at the Kansas City Museum.
And that kind of works out with the end of the semester, right?
That's the last day of classes.
Yeah, terrific. Yeah. So you really enjoyed working on this mural, right? Right. So does it give you any ideas as students to work on other pieces that are larger, or is it just kind of done for you now and you move on, or are you thinking about other ways to create some sort of work in the community?
Well, working something this scale, especially when you've never done it before, it's always kind of enlightening, to see kind of where you can jump with your own process. And really not only that, but the fact that this process was a collaborative between groups of students. Yeah. So working with people that you've never worked with before, or really you may not prefer to work with, or that you may prefer to work with, and working with those people and just kind of getting an idea of how that process can pan out and what you can create from that. Carrying forward, I mean, it's an invaluable experience, and I think working on pieces like this more often would be good. Maybe not right away, but.
And what is it like to collaborate with people? Because I know I'm kind of bossy and a little controlling. does it work out well collaborating with, you know, this project with other people that may have a different idea other than what you want to bring? Caitlin?
You know, you're working with so many brilliant minds.
Yeah.
My group, Wonderwall, had the largest group that has been, that has had the privilege to work on this project for the community. Mm-hmm. We had 6 people in our group.
Wow.
And they...
And how big was the panel?
We had the very front entrance to the building. Mm-hmm. So it's really out there. Everyone's going to be staring at this. This is what you enter into the school, or used to enter into the school. Lee, Rory, Penny, Emily, Claire, myself, we all worked on this together. And, you know, there's a lot of perfectionists on the team, which is fabulous. And we just all have to figure out a way to work together, put in a structure, have that schedule. It's a lot of team building.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's troubles that come along with the more people you have on your crew. But it's part of learning how to be in the workforce. You're going to have various people all the time.
Absolutely. It's, you know, working with, as illustration students, you know, working with the client and, you know, production and this and that. I mean, that's real life sort of skills that, you know, that you're experiencing. Although, you know, for me, I would have drop kicked someone, you know, because I'm just not totally, I'm just not very nice. So, Zach, how was it for you?
There were a lot of moments where we had to sit down and discuss with everyone because there were a lot of different, like, stylistic ways we, like, illustrate and also a lot of different ways we think, like, without our group. And there's issues here and there that we had to just go out, sit down, and just discuss between us. But mainly when it comes to working with, like, larger groups on a single project, a big thing to work on is just communication, making sure everyone knows what you're doing, and just so everyone has the right idea and nothing gets messed up along the way, so you don't have to backtrack.
Very good. Now, Hector, if people are interested in looking at some of the photos of Skerritt Elementary School, of these murals, is there a website or Facebook page they can gather information from?
Yes, we have a Facebook page. You can just go to Facebook and search for Skerritt Elementary School Murals. And on that page, every team of students has their own individual album where they're, every week they upload work in progress and, you know, photos. And and that's our way of keeping in touch with the community so that everybody can see what we're doing. And that's also where we have information on the end of semester, you know, kind of final unveiling on December 7th. And any kind of other events that we're doing that are related to the mural project, people can stay in touch, both from the community and from the rest of the world.
Where do you go from here with this mural project? Is it done? Are you going into phase two, phase three, or, you know, what's happening from here? I'm just curious.
We have just one other section to do after this, which we'll be doing for the second half of the semester.
Okay.
But if all goes according to plan, we will have finished the entire school building by December, which is, it's a giant school. It takes up a whole city block.
Mm-hmm.
So if everything goes well, we'll finish it by the end of this year. And then I guess I'll be talking to the Kansas City Public School District to see what else they have on the menu as far as other shuttered schools that need a little TLC.
And as far as the menu, I know as a working artist and professor, you keep yourself pretty busy. What projects do you have coming up that you might want to announce?
Did I
just put you on the spot?
No, it's okay. I just ran as illustration faculty for the Art Institute. We are kind of expected to keep our own professional careers alive and active. So I am working right now with a band of musicians called Freight Train Rabbit Killer.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark Smelter and Chris Reuters. And I also brought them to school to do a project with my students. So everybody's working on Freight Train Rabbit Killer stuff right now. And I'm working on a comic book cover for them.
Love that. That's great. Well, I want to say thank you all for appearing on ArtSpeak Radio. Hector Casanova, Jess Bonwell, Caitlin Jordan, Zach Martin, thank you all so much. And thank you for beautifying our community.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Please come back soon, will you?
Will do.
Very good. Thanks so much. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. I'm Herb Bass. This is Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. Every Wednesday, noon to 1 o'clock, here on KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Woo! Out of breath. You know, my next guest is Susan Jones, the board president of Chain of Hope. And Chain of Hope was formed in 2010 with the primary goal of alleviating the suffering of abused and neglected animals within the urban core of Kansas City. And their goal, their ultimate goal is to break the chain of ignorance, break the chain of suffering, and break the chain of unwanted litters. So I want to welcome Susan Jones, board president of Chain of Hope, and we're going to find out all about your organization. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much. I'm so, so pleased and grateful to be on your show today.
Well, you know, you offer such a valuable, important service to our community by taking hold of this problem that we have of abuse and neglected animals here in Kansas City. So tell us a little bit more about Chain of Hope, what your organization is about.
Yes, absolutely. So outreach is our primary function, and at the core of our mission is the need to educate folks in the community. There are a lot of misconceptions and myths around animals and how to care for them, what spay and neutering really means and when that should happen. So first and foremostly, we have boots on the ground every day of the week providing outreach in the most high-risk and disenfranchised communities in our city. So every year we identify more than 300 new households that need support, and that support is just basic, tangible needs of survival for an animal. Right. It's shelter, it's food, it's knowing how to maintain clean and appropriate water source for them, medication for prevention of fleas and fly bites, things like that. And in winter, we provide dog houses, crates for folks to bring their animals inside and fill those dog houses with straw for the animals to have some kind of warmth.
Well, I've really truly come to believe that you all, your organization, the volunteers of Chain of Hope, and they truly are volunteers, you are angels on wheels, because you have delivered services to families, to the dogs, to the abandoned and neglected and abused animals here in Kansas City. And it's, you know, 24/7 that you're working with this core of volunteers, right?
Absolutely. We have a full-time director, Kate Quigley. She founded the group.
Kate.
Yes, absolutely. In 2010, and then we just have an additional part-time position. The rest is volunteers. It's a working volunteer board and volunteers helping with outreach, with fundraising events, all of that. We have typically about 30 calls a day. The postal workers, utility workers, other delivery folks out in the neighborhood, they know to call us and report a situation that they're concerned about. So literally, we're driving down alleys looking in abandoned homes every day, because you go out on one call and you see two or three other situations that need assistance, and oftentimes it is literally a life and death matter, and our outreach teams are dropping everything to take an animal for emergency care, or sometimes it's too late, and sometimes it's to just help that animal cross over in a humane and a gentle way.
Yeah. And chainofhopekc.org is the website, and you have a listing of, well, of course, your mission statement and contact information and all that, events. But you also have stories about some of the animals, right?
Absolutely. If you go to our website, it's called Kate's Blog, Kate Quigley, our director. She tells it like it is, and it's not pretty to see, it's not pretty to hear, but it's important that we know what kind of conditions animals in our community are in. So she tells the story, she shares the pictures, and most all of them with a very happy ending. And so on our website also is a list of adoptable animals that we have in care, either at our facility or in foster, that are certainly in need of forever loving, nurturing homes.
Yeah. We were fortunate to adopt Trudy. My daughter was fostering her.
Yes.
And Trudy Pickles, as I've named her, has become one of the most wonderful, loving, beautiful dogs. She looks a little bit like a hyena, but that's okay. she's got a big heart, and we absolutely love her. Let's talk about some an event that's coming up as a fundraiser for Chain of Hope, and it's been very popular, I think. This is the second year.
It's called the Boonanza, and it's going to be held at the Belvoir Winery in Liberty, Missouri. There's a link on our website that can give more information. It's a silent auction, a dinner. We'll have raffle prizes, a photo booth, art, handmade items, even a few autographed Kansas City Royals memorabilia this year that we're really excited about. We were sold out last year. It was a really successful event, and it is Halloween themed, and we do like our Halloween costumes. It's a great, great fun event. It's wonderful.
You know, I attended last year with some friends, and we decided we're going to do it again this year.
Right.
The costumes are a lot of fun. People just get out, and they want to support Chain of Hope, and this is one way to do it. And of course, you know, you have booze, you have food. What else?
Yes,
what else do you
absolutely.
Want? Auction items, silent auction items, and all that. And that's at the Belvoir Winery. And if you're unfamiliar with Belvoir Winery, there is a history about that. It used to be an Oddfellows home. And it's actually haunted.
It is actually a little bit haunted.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a great venue. It's very fun, especially with the history that it has around Halloween. There's lots of different artifacts and things that you can see up there. And they also actually have lodging. They have rooms now for
overnight
for rent.
That's scary.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm that brave, to be honest with you. But this takes place Thursday, October 20th, Boonanza at Belvoir Winery at 1325 Fellows Road, Oddfellows Road, I believe that is, in Liberty, Missouri. And, you know, I believe it sold out last year.
It did sell out, and we
have
very limited tickets remaining, but there are still some available.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, people can help out with Chain of Hope, not only through events like this with the Boonanza, but you also have a wish list on your website. And just if you kind of would give us a little bit of what is on your wish list for the organization.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the majority of our operations, the vast majority, is strictly on individual donations, whether that's monetary or in kind. So the wish list, the needs list, always food, both dog and cat food. Mm-hmm. Though we primarily serve dogs, we serve a lot of cats.
Mm-hmm.
Raw hides. Toys for so many of these animals that live their life 24/7 on the end of a chain in a backyard, isolated. They see a white van from Chain of Hope.
Oh my goodness!
Pull up, and they know. They absolutely know who's coming. They're going to get fresh food, water. They're going to get a toy. They're going to get a rawhide to chew on, to break that sense of isolation. So there's a lot of different needs. We have a list of items for Amazon.com as well. And we set up, and there's a list on our website for different locations throughout the community, north, south, east, and west, to try to make it convenient if people do have donations that they can take it to one of those locations, and we'll take it from there.
And from time to time you have events like at the local pet stores and that sort of thing, where you bring some dogs out that are available for adoption, and it's also a way for people to drop off food or some sort of item that you may need.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in addition, this past June, it was our third annual Pit Bull Day. We hosted that in Swope Park, providing low-cost vaccinations. We had over 300 pit bulls at that event this year, and that was just, it was a remarkable way to celebrate that breed.
They're beautiful dogs.
Foremostly, absolutely. And in the winter months, we'll have a hay drive. We'll set up shop in a parking lot or somewhere in the city, so folks can come and they can get free hay to try to help keep their animals warm in the winter months.
And for someone like me that wants to help out, you know, I, as I told you in the green room, I have a big heart, but it's, the walls are very thin. It's heartbreaking to me to hear mm-hmm. the stories and to witness, you know, the neglect and abuse. But there are other ways to benefit the dogs and the organization by bringing them food and you know, looking through the wish list, the list of needs for the organization to help these dogs.
Absolutely.
So it's always ongoing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I have, I'm one of the, my home is one of the drop-off locations, and like clockwork, the first of every month, there's wow. a gentleman that comes and brings a 50-pound bag of food. You know, that's survival for a yeah. number of animals. On a single day of outreach, we will address in some way or another the needs of 10 to 15 dogs and nearly as many cats.
Wow.
So that's 10 to 15 separate households mm-hmm. that we are reaching on a daily basis.
If you just now join me, I'm talking to Susan Jones, board president of Chain of Hope KC, which is an organization formed to alleviate the suffering of abused and neglected animals within the urban core of Kansas City. Susan, if someone wants to place a call, say they witness a neighbor's dog or something that's happening that is really putting a dog in a really bad situation, would they call you first or would they call the animal control? How does that work?
Well, and you know, we try to solicit the help of animal control in situations where we know that it is an absolutely dire circumstance. Not that we don't address dire circumstances every day on our own, because we absolutely do. The reality is that resources are limited, mm-hmm. and there is a very, very bottom line in terms of definition of what minimal needs are. So we go mm-hmm. well above and beyond that. So okay. absolutely. If there is a concern, you can call 816-221-8080. You'll get a recording. And then we check calls mm-hmm. throughout the day and certainly prioritize those that are an emergency.
And that's kept in confidence and...
Yes.
Anonymity?
Yes. Yes, it is.
If I can say the word, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you could give that number again, please.
816-221-8080.
Beautiful. So... Chain of Hope, KC, they have improved the lives of so many inner city animals. They're a grassroots organization helping neglected animals right here in the city. And your volunteers, highly dedicated and compassionate. They have the biggest hearts ever. I truly believe that. So the event for to benefit Chain of Hope is Thursday, October 20th, which is next Thursday. It's the Bonanza at Belvoir Winery from 6 to 9 o'clock at 1325 Oddfellows Road in Liberty, Missouri. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Okay, so what are you going to dress as?
Well, if listeners are familiar with the Orange is the New Black show, so I'm going as an inmate, and my wife will actually be going as a prison guard, so there you have it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be lots of fun.
And you may not recognize, I'll have my Libre Luce mask on and my cape, so we'll
Fantastic.
See you there.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you so much, Susan, and please come back anytime you have an announcement or an event that you want to share with the community, because we love Chain of Hope and we love the work that you're doing in the community.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You bet. And we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio right after this. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd every Wednesday, noon to 1 o'clock on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We have Crystal Hyland and Laurie Ray Erickson, both artists, painters, very, very creative women here in the studio. They're going to talk about the fall open studios at the Hobbs Building. Welcome, my friends.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
You bet. First of all, let's tell people where the Hobbs Building is located.
It is at 1427 West 9th Street in the West Bottoms.
It's a fun place. It's filled with artists and music, event space.
Yes.
It's just really a thriving building.
It is.
Yeah. So the Open Studios, who are some of the artists and what are some of the works that we're going to see?
Well, we have more than 20 artists that are going to be opening their doors to let you take a look at what we're doing in the studios. So Crystal and I, along with Paul and Julia, we'll be there. There's three floors of people, so I can go through the whole list. You can just throw some names out.
I know Eduardo, Ed.
Yes, Eddie and Dana are up on five.
Yeah.
And Marcella Alley has been there a long time.
Yeah.
Dana's been there about as long as I have.
How long have you been there?
She's about 17 years.
Wow. Yeah. And Crystal, you just recently...
I'm a baby at the house.
You're a baby at the house.
I was just... spent the last couple of months moving in, and I'm super excited to have a workspace separate from my home. I lived with my work for about 8 years, so I'm looking at my work in a totally different way, and I'm excited to get settled and get busy, but I'll have a lot of work from the last few years.
It really makes a difference, you know, being away from your home and workspace.
Yeah.
I mean,
it really is.
You're not tempted to clean the sink or
sit around eating bonbons and watch telenovelas.
That's mostly what we do in our free time.
Lots of bonbons.
Yeah. Well, and this is taking place Friday, October 14th from 6 to 10 p.m. and then Saturday, the 15th from 12 to 4 p.m. And, you know, what I find really exciting about the Open Studios is that, you know, people are invited. There's live music. There's arts. There's crafts. There's beverages. There's snacks. But most importantly, people can meet one-on-one. They can talk to the artists about their work and see, you know, their studio space where they
create it. Yeah, it's fun to be able to see people, their work in the middle of the project and actually see how they actually create their work and just see their environments of their studios and how they are inspired.
Yeah. Does that mean, though... you know, I mean, you get a sense of the artist studio, the artist space. Will they kind of clean up for company?
Yeah.
I usually do.
Be cleaning up right now. Thank you for giving us a break.
Well, I know, you know, when you're in that mode and things are just kind of flying and paint is flinging and all that, you know, you just, it's one thing that you don't have to think about because it is your space.
Right.
Yeah. So that's happening this weekend. And, you know, it's going to be fun because live music and art and food.
Yeah, we'll have live music provided by Fritz Hutchinson and Company, and that'll be out in the courtyard. We also have a few little food vendors. One in specific is Hale Coffee Company, and it's on a mobile bike.
So they are literally little. They have a little on a bicycle.
Yeah. And just, you know, people perusing around. Ben Byard will be playing or using our actually operating the elevator, and he plays the ukulele as he's running the elevator.
We've got a couple of guys here standing by.
You know, the building has been really, really busy with other businesses. We have Bridging the Gap and their Ripple Glass Company, and then the Feats of Fancy, of course.
And, of course,
it's a very busy building.
Yeah, and the KC Center for the Ink and Paper Arts.
Right.
And I believe, are they still in the basement?
Yep. They're still in the basement. They'll be open as well.
Space. Yeah. Very neat.
Yeah. You know, when I first heard about this building, it was certainly in a state of disrepair. I mean, it's not anything like it is today, which is, I think, still a very beautiful studio building, but there's an event space on the first floor and all that. It's just a wonderful building. It's just thriving with so much
building.
Good
it
energy.
Really
Yeah.
Their architecture is something to look at as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are amazed by that.
Have you ever been on the roof?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We watched the air show.
That was fun.
Yeah. Wow. We also have Ethan Tucker and Handelman, Deanna Perino, Paul Mallory, just a whole
Ed
listing.
Madeira.
Yeah, a whole listing of folks.
There's a lot of people, a very diverse collection of people's works, so sculptors, painters, jewelry makers.
So for more information, do you have a website, a Facebook page, any sort of contact information?
We have an event up on Facebook.
Facebook.
And
good.
You can just look for it, the Hobbs Open Studios.
And that's 1429 or 1427? I think it's 1427.
1427, yeah. West Ninth, 1420. West Bottoms. Yeah, and Friday from 6 to 10 is, that's where the live music and the fun. And then Saturday is a little more mellow.
A little more relaxed. Uh-huh.
It's all
good
family
for
friendly.
Collectors who want to be able to have more of an interaction with artists. Saturday is a great day for that. But it's also nice for families.
Mm-hmm. And I think, again, one of the advantages is that instead of fighting, you know, the crowd of First Friday, which I'm not criticizing because it's been very good for the people in Kansas City, you have everything right there.
In one building.
In different floors, and it's just a lot of fun just to ride the freight elevator and go see this artists here and then that one and
so on. Totally different experience than First Friday, which I absolutely love, but it's not curated in the same way. Yeah. Artists are curating it themselves.
And Crystal, will you be, you're new to the building, but will you be showing some recent work or just something that you've had?
My most recent show is still up at the Truman Medical Center in their sort of walkway, and that's really large work on silk, so that will not be on display.
Okay.
But I'm going to be showing a variety of works that I haven't shown in a while.
Terrific.
So that'll be
and how about you, Lori?
I actually will have some new pieces from a show that I just had at Truman Medical Center out at Lakewood and Lee Summit. So I have all of that work that will be on display.
Well, terrific. That's the Hobbs Fall Open Studios at 1427 West 9th Street this Friday and Saturday. On Friday, the big music happens and food and all that from 6 to 10, then Saturday from noon to 4 o'clock. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Because you know what? We love those open studios.
We love
you. Well, we love you. We love KKFI.
Well, thank you, my friend. Mm-hmm. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. This is ArtSpeak Radio. You're listening to on 90.1 FM KKFI. Next up, we have Joe Froge and Chuck Wilson in the studio. We're going to start off with a tune by Chuck.
This is The Carpenters Meet the Girl from Ipanema. Thank you.
friend. Thank you so much. We're going to swing the microphone over here and listen to Joe. And after he performs his song, we're going to talk to you. That's why you're here, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Anytime?
I guess we'll do this.
Okay.
While digesting the Reader's Digest in the back of a dirty bookstore, a plastic flag with gum on the back fell out on the floor. So I picked it up and I ran outside and I slapped it to my window shield. And if I could see old Betsy Ross, I'd tell her how good I feel. But your flag, the cow, won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded with your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag, the cow, won't get you into heaven anymore. So I went to the bank this morning, and the teller says to me, if you'll join the Christmas club, we'll give you 10 of those flags for free. Well, I didn't mess around a bit. I took him up on what he said. And I slapped them stickers all over my car and one on my wife's forehead. But your flag, the cow, won't get you into heaven anymore. We're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag, the cow, won't get you into heaven anymore. Well, I got my windshield so filled up with stickers I couldn't see. So I ran my car upside the curb right into a tree. By the time I got the doctor down, I was already dead. And I'll never understand why the man standing in the pearly gates said, but your flag, the cow, won't get you into heaven anymore. We're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag, the cow, won't get you into heaven anymore.
Terrific, my friend.
Thank you.
That is a lot of fun. So I'm talking to Chuck Wilson, who's here. Hello, my friend Chuck Wilson.
Hello, Maria.
And Joe Froge, who you just heard from.
Hello.
Hey, kid. You know, you've got some exciting stuff to share with us, so tell our listeners what's happening coming up October 15th, Saturday.
We are so excited. This coming Saturday, the 15th, is the fourth annual River City Market Ukulele Slam,
yeah.
Which River Market Ukulele Slam.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we're going to have lots of open mics. We're going to have ukulele players coming from the whole region, and we're going to have a few vendors selling ukuleles and accessories and such. And our featured artists will be Victor and Penny.
We love our Victor and Penny, don't we?
We certainly do.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about ukulele players coming from all over. I realize that there is a group out of Lawrence and maybe some other Topeka.
There's at least six or eight clubs that are going to show up, a lot in the area.
Uh-huh.
The Kansas City Ukesters, of course, where most of it starts. And there's several fight clubs. We talk about the Kansas City Ukulele Fight Club, the Ukulele Fight Club of Kansas City. But there's also fight clubs in Columbia, Missouri, Jefferson City. For a while, there was Emporia, but we haven't heard from those guys. I guess they fought a bit too hard or something.
Neosho, Toadstock, Arkansas.
Lawrence. There's the Lawrence.
There is a Toadstock, Arkansas.
Oh, and the new one from up north is Strum.
Wow.
That's an acronym. I do not know what it stands for.
I have no idea.
Because
but I bet it's clever.
Yeah, ukuleles have been very popular for at least, I mean, just recently they had a renaissance in the last 10 years or so. And so, you know, it was really exciting to see so many people pick up a ukulele because they're easy, they're small, and, you know three chords and you know just about every song that's ever written, right?
Yeah, there's nothing intimidating about it.
Yeah. So the 4th Annual River Market Uke Slam is a family event, and then the MC and jam leader will be Danny Fowler, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and he's going to lead a jam, vendors, open mic, Uke Club performances, and a 45-minute concert by Victor and Penny. Wow.
And the jam and open mic, what that means is anybody that wants to come up and play probably can.
So do you
come sign up?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have a sign up?
There will be a sign up, as I understand, there will be a sign up that morning for the open mic. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to take place at 509 Delaware Street in Kansas City, Missouri, in the River Market area. You know, I suspect that the weather's going to be fair and wonderful. But
the last I saw was a high of 67, partly cloudy.
Perfect. Well, aren't you, Mr. Meteorologist? I love that about you, Joe. But in case of inclement weather, will you reschedule? Or?
I think we're all going to Chuck's house.
Oh, good. Yay, everyone at Chuck's house.
It's rain or shine, so.
I like to sit on his fancy furniture and pluck his harps and all that.
There you go.
Tease his cats. You know, you guys have another song together that you can perform.
Right.
We're kind of winding down the hour, and, you know, we'll be, you know, Jeff Harshbarger will be next with Jazz in the Afternoon. But do you have a song that's fairly quick that you can play for us and show us your
You've heard a lot of your songs, Chuck, and I can probably follow along.
Oh, put them on the spot.
Okay.
I'm really good about that.
I forgot to mention the time this Saturday is from 10 to 3:30.
Yeah.
So it's a slam. It's just part of the day, and then we get kicked out for some other event. And it's in the courtyard right across the street from 509 Delaware.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been there, it's really neat. It's all stone, and it's just a perfect place.
It really is. It is.
Barring rain.
Yeah, very good. And I don't mean to jinx you, but, you know, it's Kansas City.
It is. We love it here.
So, do you want to go ahead and get something going? Because we've got less than 2 minutes to do something here. So you're going to listen to a song by Chuck Wilson. Take it away.
Took the best
So why not come get the rest? So why not take off? Why not take all of me?
Wow, thank you. I love that song. One of my favorites. Thank you so much, my friend Chuck Wilson, Joe Frosch. Joe, you're writing me notes on, well...
And if you want to... Go find the details. We've created a Facebook event page, and if you search for River Market Uke Slam, you'll be able to find it.
Terrific. Stick around. I want to say thanks to Hector Casanova and his illustration students. Also, Crystal Hyland, who joined us, along with Lori Ray Erickson, Joe Froge, Chuck Wilson, Susan Jones. Thank you all for showing up today on Art Speak Radio. Next week, October 19th, almost Halloween, we'll have Rachel Gardner-Rowe, and we also we'll have Joe Williams, who's the founder of the Endowment for Veterans Art Campaign, and he'll be with us. And you know what? I'm going to say, honey, I'm coming home. Would you take us out with a song or just an instrumental? Thank you for listening.